So my name is Greg Snelling from Santa Barbara County, obviously. This is using GIS data to automate some of our assessor and map production. Over the last few years, we've kind of been seeing. Thank you, Dwayne.
Yeah, glad I could do that. Right.
And it, we lost Alana this last year, and we've been, when she was here, we were kind of sort of sharing the vision of data driving maps. I know Esri actually uses that term now with their data driven pages. So I'm going to go through a little presentation about how we do our indexes now and possibly how we'll maybe do them in the future. Or not, actually, we are kind of doing them that way now. But. First of all, everybody works in AutoCAD, or if they work in AutoCAD, they know what maybe blocks are, title blocks, page blocks. And these little, they're objects in AutoCAD drawing that that have attributes associated with them. So like your north arrow, its orientation, so your title, the text that makes your title, etc. So when I talk about map elements, kind of think about objects of a map. Definition: a graphic of or an object of a map. Examples: there you go. And currently, our method is we have our raster maps. So not all of our indexes are vector indexes. And when we need to update an index, we'll have to get that raster page and externally reference it inside a CAD drawing, and overlay vector data on top of it so our page changes. So, and we do this with all of our maps that are raster and vector maps. And we call them hybrid CAD maps. Our process, we open a DWG containing external references of raster, like a .hal file or a .tiff. The first thing we do is we take that scale, or we take that raster, and we make sure that the scale's right, it's rotated, and it's legible. And then we update a vector layer, CAD layer, for page change. And we just go in there, and sometimes we just fudge it, because these indexes, they don't have a whole lot of, they don't have a whole lot of precision. You know, they just need to get you to where you need to go. One thing about indexes is there'll be a certain amount of time that passes before you update an index, and you have all, you know, recording of roads, new roads and stuff like that that need to be updated in your index. So you would have to look at pages and make sure that you're updating all the right roads. A lot of us would just turn on our GIS layer and use that as a reference. So that's something that's changing in those indexes. Other things, just that line work. So we check and we update any book and page numbers that are wrong or maybe changed. Just take a glance over those boundaries and make sure that they're correct. We don't want to check the whole map because it's just inefficient. But we say we check the whole map. So then scale other map elements, and then we print a map and we send it on for the process, and people do their checking and so on. Okay, that's our hybrid process. Maps, they end up looking like this. This is a city map inside the city of Santa Barbara. You see there, page reference down to the right. And it's oriented 48.5 degrees. Pros with hybrid maps, GIS data is not required. You can easily do it in AutoCAD. Most of us are used to using AutoCAD. And you're just overlaying on top of the old map. So it looks the same as the old map. It's not like, well, what changed? So we like that when it's not obvious that glaring errors or glaring changes. We all know as mappers that you can suck somebody into finding something, you know, that we hide things sometimes. Cons. Representation's easy, approximate scale. Sometimes some of our indexes are not to scale. They're so big, they're not to scale. Cons, there's a little duplication of map effort. For example, you draw a parcel, and its boundaries, six acre parcels going into the page or going into subdivision, its boundaries are actually going to be the new page boundaries. So the outer boundary of your subdivision or whatever will be probably the page change also. So there's a little duplication there. Road labels, going through and checking all these roads that on every index, make sure they're updated. It's a little tough. It'd be nice if it could just come from one spot that was always updated, and you know you'd have the most current roads. So checking roads, not that fun. Recorded road changes, like I said before, since the last map revision. That's pretty much it. That's pretty much all we're really worried about on this index. There's not a lot of different dimensions, which we spend most of our time doing. A new possibility is using your GIS data and inside a geodatabase or shapefiles, depending on what type of template or format you use. I'm trying to communicate not so much how to do this, but so much that the concept of that your GIS data can produce your maps, or at least some of them. So using ArcGIS tool, ArcGIS desktop tools and geodatabases, and in your layers, if you have it, or other layers, if they're available, county roads, other county and state layers you see there. For us, we have we maintain our tax parcels. From our tax parcels, we do little geoprocessing to create tax books, book and pages, and we maintain our roads as well for assessor map purposes. So any type of recorded roads that come in, we want those. We want our GIS layer updated because we use that to check our maps. So justifying a GIS-derived index, map indexes, they don't require high precision. Map indexes require less features, dimensions, not required, parcel numbers, not required, block numbers are not required. Subdivision lots and track information, not necessarily required on our maps. One thing that's big for us is that we maintain our GIS layer so we know the currency of our layer. We have a production geodatabase where we update our parcels, and we know that we're looking at our most current version. Also, fortunate enough for us, we maintain some cities and special district boundaries as well, because we support, for TRA mapping purposes, and we support elections a little bit. The other big thing is you're staying current and accurate. If your data changes in the database, your map's updated. It's kind of a no-brainer as far as trying to avoid duplicating your work. Requirements. For what I'm going to show here in this demo, you need ArcView license level version 10 of ArcGIS desktop. You could also, and I'll mention something in the end here, you could also do something similar in AutoCAD. For this demo, version 10. So you need a map document, sort of a template, and in that template it's going to have your map elements. The map elements need to be named. So just like an AutoCAD block, they have names associated. So you also need our toolbox, ArcPy script, don't be scared, and GIS data. I'll go on here. Layer files. Layer files are really useful in ArcGIS because you can set all sorts of properties of these layer files, like label expressions and symbologies, to make those layers appear exactly the way you want them. And then the next time you need that layer, or that representation of that layer, you just add that layer file to your map, and you don't have to go through all the windows of setting up the properties for that layer. It's very useful. I would suggest saving layer files all the time when you look at it. For ArcGIS components of map automation, a map document, a toolbox, a script, and a custom form. You can create a custom form in ArcGIS using using an ArcPy scripting or model builder and an Arc toolbox, inside an Arc toolbox. So here's an ArcMap document or MXD. See, it contains map elements, page inside the MXD. So when I talk about map elements, I'm talking about these, that title, different page, the north arrow. And these are all map elements, and these all these map elements have properties that you can control using scripting or ArcGIS, ArcPy scripting. Just here in ArcMap, map element, in this is what I was just saying, can be edited manually. So initially, when you could set up your map, just going in there, going into these boxes, the boxes I was showing previously, the map elements, right-clicking on them and going inside them and manually editing their properties. In this case, the north arrow. You see it circled there. I can name that anything I want, but it's so that the map knows what that is, and the ArcPy script can start to talk with that. Doesn't really sound right, but so I'll move on. So in here, map element has a north arrow name. It has a size property. It has a position inside the map. And if you look on the slide to the left, it's got size, it's got orientation or angle, colors, not set. This is our hybrid arrow that we use for our maps. It's just a hollow arrow. It comes from our CAD template. It's really easy to make any types of symbologies that you want, customize your symbologies. You know. So I just copied our arrow, created a bitmap file, and dropped it in there. So it wasn't a bitmap, but anyway. So here's a custom toolbox. This AS Assessor's Map Forms toolbox I created, and I created a script inside that toolbox. This toolbox is added to the MapMXD template that's used for updating map indexes. It's just a little screenshot of just the script. You can't even read this stuff, so don't worry about it. You don't need to right now. And Python scripts and models, they can be added to the toolbox or document, like I just said. Let me try to explain that now. Custom form. This form is in development. There could be a lot more that we can do with this. But I've created a basic form of stuff that we edit inside a map when we're updating it. And previously we'd have AutoCAD list routines to set these templates up. So you start the list routine, you enter these parameters, and your blocks are updated, and your map's ready to go. So similar to what we're doing in AutoCAD, we've kind of duplicated the same thing because it's easy in ArcMap. And this will be pulling from GIS data. So one thing that you can take note of is that there's the arrows and pull downs. You can set lists so that you can constrain the input values of the user so you don't get junky misspelled stuff on your map. So first step, I'm just going to go through just basic steps. It's nothing set in stone here. You want to identify all of your map elements. So here comes that backup again. Let me just turn that off. Excuse me. Mind me later, please. Okay. So you identify your map elements, like I talked about in the beginning, the map element. Title, legend, orientation, scale, geographic objects, like your data, what you're looking at inside your map, symbols and coloring themes, labels. And of course, explanations, like coordinate system, sources cited, stuff like that. Let's see. So, step two, you want to determine the properties, display properties of map elements, and how they can sort of affect your map elements. For example, rotation is going to affect the rotation property of the map element. It's going to affect the north arrow graphic, I've shown you rotation values. So. A rotation label, it tells you the rotation of the map. Scale affect your label sizes if you're automatically generating them from the labeling engine. And just get a scale value that gets actually put in text on the map page. Anybody can ask questions and interrupt me if they want to. So if I'm going too quick or not making any sense, please stop me because I do that all the time.
So you're not using dated ribbon pages. You're just.
We will. So we're not using data driven pages functionality from ESRI, but the archive scripting that's sort of behind that. Data frame, that's another element of your map, and its extent and where your data frame is, and some of the properties of your data frame can affect your labeling, where your map is showing, the extent of your map, what geographic objects it's showing. Your text, you're just typing, say you type text in the title. Well, that's a property of that element. So it can also be put into a form. The definition query, this is a really cool one, and this is kind of what made it all happen for me when I was playing around with this, was I was saying, well, okay, I can make it automatically do all these things, but how do I make it only show what I need it to show? And you set definition query can also be set inside ArcPy, or can be controlled, and the parameters of your form can affect that. So if you typed in a book number, you could tell the definition query to only display that book number. Don't show me anything else inside this layer. And then when you zoom to the extent of that, of course, you're only going to see just that feature. So next step, create your layout with your necessary map elements. So you can do this manually. Just make your map as you would, just sort of the guts of it, and label your mapping elements. So in this case, this map title has a name, map title. Don't be confused with the text value that populated inside this text property of this element. Because that's actually map space title. This is the actual name of the element, map title, with no space. I know it's confusing, but I was going quick. So for every element, you want to do that. If you notice, there's a data. I just created a data frame outline. A data frame is an important element of your map and object. So its properties are very important in this case.
If I can just interject one thing real quickly, is just that what basically he's creating right now is the template to create all of our indexes for every page. So it's okay.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm sure all of us have this little revision bubble somewhere on the map or something like it that tells us the date or the mean date and year that map was uploaded. And then you can't see it, but in the lowest right corner is a change note that tells us what really happened. A portion of page one went into page 99. It usually says something like that almost always. The fourth step is go and look at and introduce yourself to ArcPy. It's really easy. If you go into the Azure resources, you can sort of just go into the introduction of it, and within the first two or three pages of help, you're already writing scripts. You're already running scripts. It teaches you how to run commands from the Python module, from the Python command window, and teaches you how to script, to string those commands together, kind of like a list routine or model builder. So ArcPy.mapping scripting module, that's kind of what I used. That doesn't need to mean anything to you right now, but it's just the library of code that's used for controlling these map elements that I'm going to show you. Data frame text elements and things. You've seen that before. And then again, there it is. Just the elements are updated using the parameters defined in the Python scripts. There's a link here. You can click on it when you get this PowerPoint presentation. And just go and check it out if you want, if you have time. I know a lot of us don't really have a lot of time. One of the reasons why I was able to do this was because we were able to spend a little bit of time preparing for the CCNA conference. I was able to stop mapping and play around a little bit. So step five, create or modify an ArcPy script so you can borrow a script, like say mine, and make it work for yourself if you have time. and I'm willing to share everything with anybody. And there's a whole lot of code. Most of this code I got from just snipping from the Azure site. So there's a lot of resources out there already. Chances are, what you're thinking about doing, somebody's already thought about it. You just need to know how to ask the question. So yeah, so here's the demo. And it's a short demo. So I'm opening my template that I created. It already has its elements populated, so it's not going to look like the one that screenshot I show you in that slide with the red lines. But those elements could just be updated for the next map page. First let me describe what's inside this map. Inside your layers, some of my layers here, I have a book page outline that was created from our parcel base using simple geoprocessing in ArcGIS called Dissolve. And what it does is it takes all of your parcel numbers that have a like, book, and page number, and merges them all into a single feature and gives them that attribute, that book and page. So that's kind of the kernel to make this thing work. So we have that. And then just let me go inside the attributes and show you. Inside the book page outline, there's a book field value and a page field value. So we dissolved on the book and the page of the APN and created this layer. And there's some other layers in here that we have. We have city blocks. These are the city block numbers. This data came from the city, and we took it and massaged it a little bit so that it displays block numbers and doesn't display duplicates and stuff like that. So that's one of our layers that's in our map that we need and is on all of our indexes. In ranchos, Los Padres National Forest, roads, private, public. Our city layers, which we maintain, our sections layer, which we maintain for taxes, tax mapping, and a couple other things. Don't pay attention. So this index page change, don't worry about it right now. It's basically the part of your map that might be changing, or the actual page change. But assuming that your GIS information that you have, your parcel information that you have, is current. You just drive these indexes. You update these indexes. So you've already updated the GIS, you can update the index. And then rivers, we get this from our planning department. We're in the form. And over here to your right, there's ASMAP forms. I've added this toolbox by right-clicking on Arc Toolbox and adding a toolbox. Once that toolbox is created, you name it, and you right-click on that toolbox, and you create a script or a model. You can add a script or a model or create a new model. So that's that. And inside, let me just show you real quick, just so you see how we're getting around here. Inside this script, if you right click and you say edit, you can see some code. It's not that interesting right now, but after I finish running it, maybe it's a little bit more interesting. So I'm going to close that code down for now. We're just going to run the tool, the script. First thing is I put all of our possible or potential book numbers into a list and inside the Python script, and that's allowed this form to constrain the user to only be able to input book numbers. So let me just pick a book, book 31, or actually 37, this can be automated. This is change date. You can automate this more. I was doing this form quickly, so I didn't worry about creating any special calculations of this value, like today's date, or lane date, or from some other source, but it can be automated one way or another. Anyways, but I'm just going to put in 2011. And that's going to populate that. We can see if that little bubble, little revision bubble, Map title, this is typed now. We could put potential map titles into a list or something like that. But these things kind of change, and sometimes you want two lines in your title and stuff like that. So you can type anything in there, maybe go update it later or something. But I'm going to put Pebble Lands, because this is what most of our Santa Barbara City block maps are, portion of Pebble Lands. And then this can also be automated. I'm just going to say the reason for the changes is the low right comment that I showed you earlier on the page. And this can be automated because, like I was saying, it's always a portion of the page that's going in the new page. So most of the time. So you could have two forms here. Which page is your new parcel coming, or your new page coming from? And you enter that page. And then what is the new page that you're going into that page? And there would just be two fields to populate this one. But anyway, I'm going to type it. So portion of page one into new page 99. Page reference region for us, I didn't really totally know what to call that, but that's the block that tells you if you're in the city of Santa Barbara or the unincorporated area or something like that. We have pull downs for this because they're usually the cities, the county, or it's the city in the vicinity of that city. So let's just, because this is City of Santa Barbara, I'm just going to say City of Santa Barbara. And then this is another pull down for map rotation. You know, most of our indexes are either rotated 485 or 90 degrees or to zero. There are a couple that are a little bit different, but you could just type those in. So in this case, this is Santa Barbara index, so it's rotated negative 485. Now we type in a work order. This, of course, can also be constrained to some database of work orders that you already have. You've produced, you have a table, and you can constrain these values also. But I'm just going to type in a generic work order number for this year. Let's just type 12999. That's how our work order system goes. 12 being the year, and the number being the job of that year. So, and then the last thing, a map scale. Most of the city blocks are 1 to 600 feet. I'd be looking at the existing index when I did this, so I'd know what it needed to be. And we'll go to 1 to 600. And just hit enter. On any script that you have, you could also... Ooh, I didn't have the help in there. You can also create help files that have them. And obviously, there's also a description of that script, too, that somebody can look at when they first open it up. So let's just say okay. And it's 2 seconds, it said?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So 2 seconds it took us to basically put all the guts onto this index map. Now if you notice the scale set, the rotation set, arrows rotated, you got title box populated, all the information that are put into that form. That's that, and of course you have the page numbers symbolized that way. If you're wondering how I did that, I can just show you the label expression and the symbology that I have set for that layer file.
For joining stages.
Pardon me? The adjacent page bubbles
you have
on there, are those automated also?
Yeah, the page numbers are automated also. They're being generated from this book adjoin layer that you see here. And that book adjoin layer has a definition query in it that tells you to display all the labels, or excuse me, to display all these features, but don't display your subject book, which is in the middle. And
that's generating the road title text.
The road text are being generated from this roads layer public. The roads are the main thing in question here, because you have to, when you use automatic labeling, there's some stuff that you got to do. You can set orders of placement, priorities, weights, or whatever, and you can get your labels to be pretty much complete. But I'm kind of finding on these that most of the time I do have to do, and just like when we were seeing the demo before, you do have to do a convert to annotation if you want to do some fine, you know, some refinement of the labels.
And I was just going to say, to answer that question, what he was talking about it in terms of your adjoining pages, it is labeling the adjoining pages. And what he was saying is he picks that layer, and what it does is says, okay, put adjoining page labels on everything in my view except the one that we're working on, so that you don't get an adjoining page label in the middle of that page. So that was that why that was his explanation about that.
And we were really happy when we figured out how to make the label. We're like, yay! But we also have a similar thing for, I've worked on this for our normal pages, because I kind of have a vision of being able to look at the GIS view of data and being kind of able to see the assessor's maps overlaid. So I did do something for like the assessor book blocks as well. I think I have a symbology for that little list. And some other things. So in this, from here, I haven't been able to do much more on the script, but my next step is I'm going to tell the script to select all of the roads that are within, let's say, since the roads are 50 feet in Santa Barbara usually, so I'll say select all the roads that are within, say, 100 feet from my subject book, and label those roads on my map, convert them to annotation, and you will already have everything set. Now the map can just go in the new labels. And then save the map, and they're done if they're indexed, because indexes are simple. So that's using GIS to your GIS data to automate some of your maps where possible. So let me back to my presentation here. Does anybody want to see me step through the code? I could do that later for anybody who's interested.
The code is about, just say, the code is about a page and a half.
It's nothing.
And we'll probably sit
down. We can do that later. We'll save that for later. If anybody's interested, I'm willing to step through the code with you.
Are you going to put this on the CD?
Yes. Yes. You betcha. Okay. So, let me go back. Yes. Question.
Why didn't you put it in the resource center so everybody in the U.S. can download it?
Sure. You want me to?
Yes.
Sure. Okay. If you think that'll be useful for you guys, yeah, no problem.
If not, you'll get 1 star in expenses. You'll get 5 stars.
Okay, I'm sure I'll get a lot of questions too. Okay.
I have to be nice, you don't have to be nice.
That's true.
I did, and I hope hopefully everybody's catching on, but basically we're saying what we can do now, we've got a template. We can rotate the base map so that it fits whatever the assessor index fit best the page before, and consequently we can make all of our we can make a very good draft of each of our assessors index pages in about 3 minutes. And so we got 75 of them. We take just 3 minutes. So we assume now it's going to take about 2 hours to redo all of our index maps. And after that, we're going to have to move a few roads around to make them clear, perhaps. But otherwise, that's really pretty much it. And the benefits we were talking about. What are the benefits? Maybe I'm now stepping into what he's doing. But what are the benefits? The benefits are, the city boundary changed. You know, when you're doing your, you haven't changed your index map for a while, the city boundary, or the national forest boundary changes, all those other things that sit there and forget to get changed, the road layers, all that stuff, if it's kept up in GIS, all this stuff now gets automatically updated in your assessor map, in your assessor's index each time you just have to, it's there, and or you just need to make another TIFF of it
put up on the website. And
or you can even have it. You can even have it automated, depending on how, you know, how current systems, you can have it so automated that once your map's done, once your data is done, you just update indexes and those PDFs get updated. Because one thing I didn't show, it takes an extra minute if I run this script, is just taking that same file and saving it. So it'll save that file as a PDF or export that map as a PDF to a location, or save that MXD into a location, say you're working, or your final directory, whatever you have. That's useful. One thing I just want to say real quick before I keep going on to it. I don't know if you guys remember Solange Fu. She left us this year, and she really kind of started this whole thing. She started getting into VBA scripting and stuff and automating maps. Started with our radius maps, or radius label maps, mailing label maps. We call them radius requests. And then at the end of our conference last year, she kind of told Dwayne that I would try to come up with a way to do this with indexes and learn how to use ArcPy. So I want to definitely, she's not here, but give her props.
Nah.
Thanks for the motivation and getting us going a little bit. So GIS derived ArcMap process. You open an MXD, you run the script, you click OK, and then you manually refine your label placement. Depending on your script, in this case, I didn't need to use print export PDFs. I had to put something in. Other GIS derived map ideas. Mineral parcel assessment maps is something I've been working on recently. They don't have our maps don't have a lot of bearings and distances on them, because most of the time they're not described that way. A lot of times they're described by section, township, and range, cores, whatever. So that's a possibility. We have creative labeling for mineral maps as well. We have a sort of hexagon kind of label, that we do for our mineral maps. So we've created the exact same labeling look as our AutoCAD maps and our GIS. And it's easier to do mineral parcel mapping in GIS because a lot of times you're just selecting those parcels that are part of that mineral area and merging it into a single feature. And mobile home assessment maps, they're similar. They don't have a lot of dimensions. They don't really need dimensions for us because we know what the secure parcel is, and that has dimensions on it. So we just kind of need to know approximately where the mobile homes are within that parcel. So the owners of the mobile homes can have them. Radius request maps, like I said before. Solana had done this with Visual Basic before. And she ended up taking all of that and rewriting it with ArcPy. And she just went crazy on how easy it was. And she really motivated us on that. And that kind of was what got the other maps going. And then the last one I just want to mention that we haven't done yet. But Solana had an automated comp sales map that we use. And the plan is to just update that map with some ArcPy. Coolest thing is your script goes from like this to this. So on something like the comparable sales maps, that's probably going to be hardly anything. Because you're really just selecting features with certain attributes and zooming to them, doing some type of calculation. This is really important, is that what I'm talking about right now is, and sorry Ezra guys, you guys have a great product, and it's what gets us going. But it's concept, it's not software. So what I kind of want everybody to take from this is just that if your data is good and you're in control of your data, or you can actually, or you know enough about your data to where you can use it cautiously, then you can do this other ways. I was just sort of looking at, and I could have gone two ways with this, but automation and AutoCAD Map 3D. In our version, we're at 2012, we can do workflows. Workflows in the AutoCAD, it's basically just kind of similar to Model Builder in ArcGIS. It's just taking commands and stringing them together in a certain order and say do this, if not this, then do this, and so on. So this concept, if you have this data, then you can do FDO connections to your data with whatever software you're using, and there might be some type of I'm sure there's some type of scripting in there that you can use to automate your map production using your GIS data. That's it, and there's my contact information. Anybody wants to give me a call or send me an email or something.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.